Welcome. Thank you all for being here. Let me open us with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the beautiful weather that you've given us and just the way that you are showering your goodness on your creation as we see things growing and green and coming into bloom. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you give that to us as a sign of your providential care for us as your creatures in a general way, but specifically as your children in a special way. And we thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us not just with life and things to eat and things to wear, but that you have given us life eternal in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you have saved us to be bound to Christ and to be bound to one another as we are in Christ. And I pray that you would bless our time this morning as we talk a bit about church membership and what it means to be united to one another as we are united to Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this class as a whole as we seek to understand and explore better what your word teaches us about many things and what it means to be part of the church. Pray for those who aren't able to join us this week that you would be with them as they're traveling and bless them as they make their way back home in the days to come. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I'm really excited about this class and good to get to know you guys a little bit better and let you get to know us as a church better. I think I've met everybody, but my name is Ben Franks. I'm the pastor here at Catoctin, and we're really excited to have this new members class. So we're going to do a couple of things today. Let me just kind of walk through what my goal or game plan is, and we'll see if we can get there. My hope is, it's about 10:20 right now, my hope is that by about 10:45, 10:50, I can be done talking, and we can have just a few minutes to get to know each other a little better. I'm guessing as you're looking around the room, there's probably a number of new faces, maybe a lot of new faces, and so my hope is we can just take, you know, 10 minutes at the end for everybody just to kind of share, you know, your name, a little bit about where you're coming from, you know, what's your church background, did you grow up in a Christian home, did you grow up Baptist, Presbyterian, non-denominational, whatever. Everyone is welcome here, but just it helps to kind of know, you know, where you guys are coming from and what your goal is for this class. I know there's some who are, you know, wanting to pursue membership, some that are just wanting to kind of understand a bit more about the church. Again, there's no pressure here. I'm not trying to sell you on anything, but it helps me to know what you're hoping to get out of the class because, as you'll see, we've got some things that we want to share with you. But the reason why we do this as an in-person class instead of just saying, well, here's some recordings of lectures, go listen to it, is because we're not just trying to kind of push information on you. We want to create a forum here where you can ask questions, you can understand, you know, what is it that we're about as a church? What does it mean to be a member? How might I fit in here? And so we want that to be a kind of live environment where you can ask questions and get the information you need to really understand what we're about as a church and, again, how you fit into that. So I would encourage you, as you have questions, you know, feel free to ask those. If you have things you want to follow up with after class or in between classes, I'd be thrilled to, you know, take anybody out for coffee or meet up for a meal or, you know, correspond in any way. So I just want to make myself available, and I know the other elders would echo that as well. So we'll take a few minutes at the end of class to kind of go around. So if you're an introvert, you've got about 30 minutes to build yourself up for that. That was always me growing up. But what I want to do today as we get started is just kind of talk through some housekeeping items. You know, when you're in class, they always first class is always, you know, what's the syllabus? Where are we going? So we'll do some of that stuff. And then I want to tackle three questions. Why membership? Because, again, for some of you, this may be a very familiar context. You may have been through new members classes like this before. Others, this may be totally new, and you may be going, why does this church make such a big deal about membership? Where do we find this in the Bible? So why membership? Secondly, what does it mean to be a member? We'll kind of unpack some of that. And then just very briefly at the end, how does Catoctin, how does our church do membership? What's the process, you know, and how does this class fit into that process? And then we'll take some time to get to know each other. So first things first, you'll see that Joni Leek here in the back is my administrative assistant, and she has helped to put together these wonderful binders for us. So everybody will get one of these. Let me just explain what all is in here and how we're going to use this. So what you'll see right at the front is that you've got a couple resources here on the side, invitation to church that you can pass on to a neighbor or a friend. It's also kind of got a little cheat sheet. If you are new to our church, you may have found yourself a little disoriented going, what do they do when? Like sometimes there's a meal, sometimes there's an evening service, sometimes there's not. Here's your little cheat sheet here in the back. It'll tell you what all we do kind of at those big picture level, just to help orient you. You'll also find in here a book called Presbytopia, What It Means to Be Presbyterian. This is a book that was written by a pastor named Ken Golden, kind of for a context like this, a new members class. If you're just trying to understand what it means to be part of a Presbyterian church, this will help to orient you to that. And you'll notice that the first half of the book is all about just the essentials of the faith. Because fundamentally, you know, Presbyterianism is not a kind of separate thing from all other Christians. We have a common heritage. We're rooted in the gospel. And so no matter where you're coming from, if you're understanding and committed to the gospel, you have a home here. Okay, so we want to kind of underscore that of what does it mean to be a Christian? What do we believe about the Bible, about God, about man, about sin, about Christ, about the Spirit? But there are things, of course, that we have emphasized and have a distinct understanding of. There are things that you're going to kind of maybe hear us talk a lot about or put a big emphasis on. You may have questions about. And so this book will help to kind of just explain some of those things. So we're not going to use this as like a curriculum per se. You know, there's not going to be a quiz or a test, but it's just a good little book that I'd encourage you to kind of just work through, see if you have questions, and I think it'll help to answer some of those things. One last resource you'll see there in the corner is a copy of New Horizons. So this is a magazine put out by our denomination. It comes out once a month. If you become a member of the OPC, they'll send you a free copy of this to your house every month. And it just gives you a number of things. So it'll be kind of articles on different topics. So kind of the theme of this one is forgiveness. What does it mean to forgive? How does Christ teach us to forgive? And then it'll give you just updates on what's going on in the broader church with foreign missions, with Christian education, with home missions, church planting, and lots of good resources of, you know, book reviews and things like that. There's a great, our family uses this. We always cut out this page every month. It just gives you something to pray for each day for what's going on in the broader church. So it's a good way of kind of seeing not just what we're doing in our own little corner of the kingdom here, but what God is doing a bit more broadly. So those are resources we want to get into your hands and encourage you to make use of. You'll notice as well there on your very first page, you'll have a copy of the syllabus. So this is our roadmap for where we're going and what we're hoping to do. Today is kind of an intro class, and I'll be teaching this. We'll have 9 classes and then kind of a wrap up thing. I'll talk about that in a moment. I'm going to have the chance to teach 5 of those classes, so you'll have to spend some time with me. I apologize for that. But you'll also get to hear from each of our 4 elders who is going to teach a different class. So next week, I'll actually be away on study break, but you'll get to hear from Elder Rick about some of our history and things. And throughout the class, you'll get a chance to get to know our leaders. They'll get a chance to get to know you. I think that'll be useful for us. And so today we're kind of just doing that intro of what is membership all about? Again, as I kind of talked about. And then we'll spend a couple weeks each talking about our history as a church, as Reformed people, as Presbyterians, our theology, just kind of touching on some of those things that might be new to you or you might want to understand a bit better. And then our worship, you know, what do we do in our worship? Why do we do it? And then what we're hoping to do, we always take July off. No, not July. We always take August off from Sunday school. And so we'll finish up this class by the end of July. And then sometime in August, we'll try to put together kind of a poll or something. We'll try to find a time when we can all get together, go have a bonfire cookout, and just kind of have some fellowship together, answer any final questions you guys have, talk about what next steps might be depending on what you want to do, and just enjoy some fellowship together. So that's kind of what we're hoping to do. You'll notice behind that is something I put together. If you are a research junkie and you want to kind of say, okay, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, this doctrine, or we talked a little bit about why they do that in worship, but I want to know more. I want to dig into this further. I put together just a list of of resources that you can go to that will help you to dig into this. Again, this is not required reading. There's no test. But it's there for you if it's useful. And I've tried to put in, under each of these categories, to put in things that tend more towards kind of the intro side of things. There's a few books that are probably a bit more on the kind of detailed side, but these are all resources that I think are accessible and would be helpful. And so if you have questions about anything we talk about in class, you've got kind of a place pointing you of where you can go to learn a bit more. Beyond that, you'll notice that you've got all these little tabs. So what we're going to do, it may not be every week, it just depends on who's teaching and what they have to give you, but probably most weeks you'll end up, we'll bring something to add to your binder. So you can actually just bring this with you to church every week and kind of build up a library of resources. So like today, we're going to talk a little bit about church membership. There's a whole lot more we could say. And so I've actually given you a little article, just a couple pages, that is 10 things you should know about church membership, you know. And it'll just walk through some things, give you some more scriptures. So again, a place where you can kind of learn a bit more. We'll try not to overload you with resources, so I would encourage you, if we hand out something to you, try to make a point of going over that in the week to come, if you're able. And I think that'll be helpful to you. But the idea is, again, to have something that we can put in your hands now that you can take with you later, so you can kind of go back and revisit these things if you have questions and want to know more. Any questions about any of that as we begin? So again, kind of how this fits into our overall process. The new members class that you're part of now does not lock you into becoming a member. In fact, we've got some people who will be joining us who have already joined as members, but they weren't able to take a class, and so they're going to come back now that they're already members to take a class. Dita is a baptized member, but is going to be thinking about communicant membership. Others of you, I know, are fairly new to our church and may just want to kind of know more about what's going on. So no matter where you are, this is the right place to be. But the way this kind of fits into the process, if you want to pursue membership, is that we encourage you to go through this class so you have a chance to understand what we're all about and ask your questions. And then after this class, you would have a chance to meet with the elders, and we just interview you, get a chance to hear a bit about your story, a bit about your testimony, answer any questions you might have, and we'll talk a little bit about what we kind of look for there in terms of membership. It's not as scary as a process as it might sound like, but we have a chance to talk with you, and then if you are wanting to join the church, then we would publicly receive you. We'd have a worship service where you would come up, and we would ask you some vows that we'll walk through together shortly, and you would be received as good morning. Wrong classroom. Their class got moved. And then at that point you would make your vows before God, before the church, and you would be a formal member of the church. So this class is an important part of that process. So briefly now, let's just talk about why membership. Why do we do membership? There's a couple reasons that I would give in answer to that question. There's kind of one basic reason. And I think you actually have somewhere in your notebook kind of the broad outline of what we're going to do today. So if you're a note taker, you can flip and find that and feel free to take notes or not, whatever's useful to you. But thinking about that question, why membership? Not every church has church membership, formally speaking, but we do. Why do we do that? Well, the fundamental reason is this. We believe church membership is biblical. And that may be surprising, because if you look through your Bible and you look for the verse where Paul says, make sure you go through the new members class and you know, sign off and get on the rolls, you're not going to find that verse in the Bible. So why do we say that church membership is biblical? Well, again, I point you to that article that I've included that will flesh some of this out more, but let me just read a couple of verses for you from the New Testament and listen for kind of the way that the church is described in these verses. Okay, so here's one from Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Or Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Or another verse from Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Let's just stop there for a moment and think about what we're being told about the church. Okay, this is kind of like how we come to our understanding of the Trinity. There's no one magic verse that says, oh, by the way, God is, you know, one and three, and here's all of the creedal language, and we don't have that. Instead, what happens is, as we read about how God is described in the Bible, and we put those pieces together, what we get is a picture of our triune God. And I think, in the same way, as we look at how the church is described in the New Testament, and how the church functions in the New Testament, what we see is church membership. We see that Christianity is first and foremost not a solo sport, right? There are no Lone Ranger Christians. Throughout the Bible, we read language about one another. We have explicit commands, like we saw in Hebrews, you know, don't neglect to meet together, make sure to encourage each other. Throughout his letters, Paul will talk about loving one another, encouraging one another, challenging one another. All those one another passages are church membership passages. They're laying out for us a picture of the church that sees us as a group, as a body. And then that's actually language, right, that we get straight from Romans 12, or maybe even more famously from 1 Corinthians 12. You can go look at that passage, where we are described as being members of something bigger than ourselves, members of a body, you know, a hand or a foot or an ear or an eye, that's all bound with one another under the headship of Jesus Christ. And so we believe that to be faithful, vibrant Christians, church membership is an important part of that. That we are to be committed and bound to one another. Just think, too, this is kind of one of those things where you can think about the importance of church membership, and maybe especially that piece about, you know, formal membership. I think a lot of people, if you read the Bible, you recognize, okay, I can't do Christianity on my own. We need to gather together. We need to fellowship with each other. But why do I have to sign a piece of paper to do that? I mean, can't I have all that commitment and involvement without this kind of this process? Why is there a process? Well, there's a couple things I think to think about there. One is, can we achieve the picture that is painted for us of the church without some sort of formal commitment in place? So just think, for example, about what we're told there in Hebrews 13. You're called to obey your leaders. Who are your leaders? Is there only one church here in Percival or in your town, wherever you might live? Well, no, there's many churches. Each of those churches have leaders. Which ones are you bound to? Which ones are you committed to? If you're not formally tied to anybody, how do you know who you're supposed to be looking to and working with? And, you know, flip it around from a leadership perspective. If we're looking out on a Sunday and there's, you know, 100, 120 people and, you know, are they visiting? Are they members? You know, are they just passing through? It's hard for us to know. And the bigger a church grows, the bigger that problem becomes. If there's not a list of people to say, okay, we know who is bound to this church, who we are responsible for, because listen to that. This is one of those verses that keeps me up at night in a, I think, a good way. For your leaders are responsible to keep watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. I would like to know who I'm responsible for, you know, because there's a high bar there, isn't there, for us as officers and for us as church members. And when you think about passages, for example, that talk about church discipline, we'll talk more about discipline in another class. But there's this idea that there is an in and there is an out, and the church itself, the church members, have a responsibility at times to exercise discipline on who is in and who is out, depending on doctrine and life. How can that happen if there isn't some sort of formal process of membership. We read in Acts chapter 6, for example, that the church needs officers. And so they're told there in Acts chapter 6 to summon the full number of the disciples and to elect 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, who we can appoint to this duty. So the church is called to decide on their leaders. The full number of the disciples is to come. This is more than just a picture of individual Christians kind of joining together to do life together. There's a more formal process involved. And so we think by good and necessary consequence, we might say, a church membership is kind of required in order to achieve what the Bible lays out for us as the vision of the Christian life. Maybe an illustration that can help you here is if we're tempted to think, why would I need to go through a process to get all the benefits of membership? Are we really asking anything different than the world, which says, why do I have to sign a piece of paper and get married? You know, I can be committed to this person. We can just live together and have life together, and there's no problem there. But we recognize as Christians, no, there is something important missing. That if this is a fundamental membership and commitment that you have, whether it's with an individual in marriage or with a body as the church, then that's something that should be signaled by a public commitment to God, to one another, and to the world as a whole. And so we believe fundamentally, why membership? Because membership is biblical. And as we'll talk about here, because we believe membership is also vital to producing healthy Christians. So we think membership is important for you as individual members. If you're going to be healthy, faithful Christians, conformed to Christ, growing in your faith, church membership is going to help you to do that. And it's also important for everyone around you, all of us, that if we are going to grow in our faith, we need to be bound and committed to one another. So membership helps to produce healthy Christians and helps to produce healthy churches. Now, to understand that, we can kind of move to our second question. What does it mean to be a member? What does it mean to be a member? And I want to just introduce a kind of metaphor or picture that I think might be helpful to you. When my wife and I were going through a new membership class in seminary, and when we were living in Michigan, the pastor used this illustration. I just found it really helpful. He said, you know, most of us, when we are looking for a church, we approach it like we're trying to decide if we want to sign up to go on a cruise ship, right? And the church kind of puts out its brochure, you know, here's all the amenities that we offer, here's the programs that we have, here's the style of preaching, the style of worship, the demographic of people, you know, whatever it is. And you kind of look at that, compare it to what you want, and you either say, okay, yeah, this is what I'm looking for. So I'm willing to sign on to the cruise ship. Or no, it's not, I'm going to look for another one. And even if we do sign on, what we're fundamentally saying is, I am happy to be a passenger here and enjoy all that you have to offer for me to help me grow in my Christian faith. I think that's kind of the default for us as Western American Christians. We're used to being marketed to, right? We're used to being consumers. And there's a church on every corner. You know, there's lots of churches that are faithfully preaching the gospel, lots of churches that have all sorts of attractive, you know, buildings or programs or this, that, or the other, right? And so it's easy to just kind of slip into that cruise ship mentality. But he says, you know, when you look at the Bible, the Bible's description of the church, we don't really get that at all. We don't see Paul making sales pitches. In fact, his sales pitch is, come and die. You know, come and be spent for Christ. Come and give yourself to the mission which God is doing of building his kingdom here on earth, as it is in heaven, of gathering in the nations, of you experiencing suffering so that you might be sanctified and conformed more to the image of your suffering Savior, so that one day you might receive glory. You don't read that in a cruise ship brochure, do you? What the Bible is calling us to is not a cruise ship, it's a battleship, isn't it? There's a mission. And so what I'm pitching to you is not, hey, please come join us so that we can have more members or more giving or whatever. I'm saying, join us in the mission that Christ has given us, the Great Commission, to go and preach the gospel to all nations, to make disciples of all peoples, to raise up our children and to be conformed ourselves to the faith, and to be joyful, faithful witnesses in a world that's opposed to the gospel. That's the sales pitch. And so signing on looks like not just, oh, here are the programs I want to be involved with. You know, if you're on a cruise ship, You've got the crew, and then you've got the passengers. And most people are passengers, right? And in some churches, it's so easy for us to fall into that. You know, kind of the 80-20 rule. You know, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And some people come to a church, and they're crew members, and most people are passengers. You know, we're just kind of here, we're here for the ride. But on a battleship, you can't walk onto the battleship with your deck chair and say, all right, Captain, let me know when we arrive. You know, if you have any experience with the Navy or the military, you'll know that won't fly. You know, you have a job to do. Everyone is part of the crew. And some people may have big, visible jobs. Some people may be down underneath, you know, working in the boiler room. But it's all vital work. It's all part of the mission. Catoctin, the USS Catoctin, is not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. All right. And so that's, I think, a controlling metaphor that we can bring to answering this question. What does it mean to be a church member? It means you're committed. It means you're part of the crew. So let me just run through a few ways that that commitment fleshes itself out. Our time is going so fast. It's amazing how that happens, at least from my side of the podium. You know, it's always kind of like, depending on which side of the bathroom door you're on, need time either goes quickly or slowly. So what does membership involve? Well, membership involves commitment. It involves commitment in, I'll give you at least four ways. So it involves commitment in terms of your beliefs, right? So this is not a club. You should not come here because, oh, these are people who have the same hobbies as me. They go to the same school as me. They vote the same as me. That's not why we're here. There's lots of organizations. There's lots of clubs and groups that will give you that kind of thing. We're united about something else. We're united around the gospel. And the good news of that is, even if you and I have nothing else in common in terms of background or anything else, if we're united in the gospel, we're united in a more fundamental way than in anything else. And so membership is a way of, again, committing to the gospel of Jesus Christ, publicly professing your faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, membership involves a commitment in terms of your behavior. And I think we can think about this in at least two ways. So the first and most fundamental way is that it involves a commitment in your behavior in terms of how you live as an individual Christian, your conduct. So again, we are committed around a message, but it's not just signing off on a doctrinal statement and saying, yes, I have intellectual agreement with this. No, we are called as Christians to live out of the reality of the gospel, to live lives that are shaped and defined and challenged and refined by the message of the gospel. And so actually, if you come meet with the elders, what we're going to look for is this. Does this person have a credible profession of faith? By which we mean this, that they have an understanding of the basics of the gospel. We're not asking you to sign off on the Westminster Standards, right? We'll talk more about that in another class. We're asking you, you can see the vows in your book. We're asking you five simple vows, which are in essence going with, do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that all Christians in all places and all times have professed and believed? And are you willing to live and work with us in peace and in unity as you grow in your faith and in your understanding of the gospel? That's what we're looking for. Can you sign off on those things before God with a good conscience? And is your life consistent with that profession? Doesn't mean that you're perfect. If that was the standard, we'd have a very small church membership role, right? But it's saying, am I living in gross sin? Am I saying, oh yes, I believe in Christ as my Savior, but I'm practically denying that Monday through Saturday? You know, would people at your workplace be shocked to hear that you're a churchgoer? We're looking for consistency in what we profess and in how we live, in our doctrine and in our life. And so that's the first way in which our behavior is involved in this commitment that we make, that we are to exhibit Christian conduct, to have a credible profession of faith. But secondly, again, remember, this is not just about you, although I think membership will bless you. It's also about blessing the church. It's vital to produce healthy Christians, also to produce healthy churches. And so our behavior is involved with membership in our service of our time, our service of our talents, our service of our treasure. And so I think fundamentally that means being a member of the church doesn't just mean your name is on a roll somewhere. It means that when we look out on a Sunday morning, we want to see each other there, right? We want to have fellowship with each other. We want to worship with each other. not just kind of dropping in and out when we feel like it, when we're able, as we can kind of squeeze it in around other commitments and activities, but saying, no, this is the kind of anchor of my week, that I come to worship God with his people on his day. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm about. And that's the core of things. I would encourage you as well along those lines. There's so much to say here. We might touch on this more in another class. But church membership is like a lot of things. The more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. And so if you are really hungry for connection, community, fellowship, let me encourage you to really take advantage of the opportunities that we as a church provide for worship and fellowship and connection. You may notice as you kind of look at even just our list of events or look at the bulletin each week and see what's going on, that we don't have a ton of programs going on. There's not stuff happening every night of the week. And that's kind of intentional. It's not just because we're a smaller church and we can't manage the programs. It's actually a deliberate choice, where we have set up our calendar so that ideally your Sunday is full, that you spend the whole day with God's people, that most days we're beginning the day together, we're ending the day together, we've got food every single Sunday after the evening service, there's a fellowship meal. Some of the sweetest times of fellowship happen as we gather around the table, just closing out the Lord's Day together. It's really wonderful. And if you want to enjoy that fellowship, we would encourage you, set aside Sundays just to be with God, to be with his people, have each other over for meals, get together. That will really bless you. And then there are some other things that we do, but I would encourage you, as you think about being involved in the church, you know, having that reflected in your time and your calendar, you know, as much as you can, set aside those Sundays. And then maybe you try to have one other point of contact during the week. Maybe it's the women's Bible study on a Tuesday. Maybe it's our prayer meeting on a Tuesday afternoon. Maybe it's men's breakfast. Maybe it's just get together with somebody, go to the park, you know, or go out for coffee or whatever. But have those times where we're with each other, meaningfully giving of our time, because that will build the kind of connection and community and actual membership and belonging that we need to be healthy Christians and to be a healthy church. And within that, as you participate in the life of the church, look for where you can use your talents. Find your ministry here at Catoctin. Again, the default of every organization is the 80-20 rule. You know, there's some people who just, they love to serve, they love to jump in, and they can kind of gobble up tasks sometimes almost, and then you end up sitting back and going, well, I'm not even sure what to do. And so you just don't do anything. It's so easy to fall into that. Let me encourage you not to give into that. Try and see where you have gifts that you can use to join with the ministry that we're doing. Or maybe God is bringing you here to our church because there's gaps in our ministry. You know, it's so funny that I've experienced this, where I'm in a church, and you know, every time you come to a church, you're coming because there's something that you like. And often, it's because you see something in this place that you didn't see in the last place. And so you're willing to kind of overlook the things that maybe you don't love because there's something here you like, right? And so we go there, and for the first year or two, it's just, you know, it's honeymoon and it's great. And then you hang out with these people, and first off, they're fallen, they're sinful. Who, you know, they should have warned you about that. And then you look at it, you think, well, you know, yeah, they're really good at, you know, they're really good at, you know, discipling their kids. They've got all this fellowship, but I just don't see this. I don't see them outreaching in the community. You know, I don't see the kind of evangelism that we should have. I don't see them, you know, being creative about this, that, or the other, and we become discontent, and that gap or that problem gets bigger in our minds, and then that kind of pushes us to the next church, which maybe doesn't have that problem, and so we're happy to go there, and then we're there a couple of years, and we find they've got other problems. And you look back, and you realize, wow, we've been at 5 churches in the last, you know, 12 years kind of thing. What's going on there? Well, again, it's not wrong to move churches, okay, but we always need to watch our hearts and say, why am I doing that? And I think I would introduce kind of maybe just a thought for you. If you can see a gap in ministry, that may be exactly why God has brought you to that church. It's because I can tell you right now as the pastor that there are things that I think by God's grace we do well at Catoctin, and there are things that by God's grace I hope we'll do a whole lot better. But we don't always have the gifting that we need or the manpower that we need to do all the ministry we'd like to do. And sometimes there are ministries that would be worth doing that just aren't on our radar screen. God may be bringing you here to help us grow in those areas. So when you see a problem, when you see a gap, see it as an opportunity. Come talk to me. Come talk to the elders and say, hey, I've noticed maybe there's an opportunity here. Could I be involved? Could I help with this? Could I lead in this? And we'd love to hear from you with that. So use your time, use your talents, use your treasure. That involves tithe, but it's more than money, right? Give of yourself. Fix a meal. Watch other people's kids. Go help out with a, you know, project around the house. Whatever you're good at, look for how you can use your talents, not just in a formal ministry, but informally with each other as well. Two other things briefly, and then we'll take the last 5 minutes to get to know each other. Membership involves a commitment in terms of your belonging. So beliefs, behavior, and belonging. And this is really that idea of shepherding. We'll talk more about this when we get to kind of the class on Elder Davis will teach on the Reformed understanding of the church, kind of how we're structured as a church. But here's one thing you need to know. We as your elders really take that Hebrews 13 verse seriously. That we believe we're accountable for your souls, especially if you are a formal member of the church. That means that we're praying for you. That means that you're part of a shepherding group. When you join the church, there'll be an elder who's assigned to specifically pray and care for you. And we try throughout the year as well to, as much as we're able, you know, visit you in your homes, do shepherding visits. We try to have you into our homes. We want to get to know you. We don't just want to have a face and a handshake on Sunday. We want to be in your lives, be there to help you when you're going through hard times, when you're going through crises. You have the church. You don't have to do it alone. And so that shepherding is part of that. It's part of that belonging. And it's accountability for us, too, that we are all prone to wander, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know, we can all sing that with real feeling because we've been there. And God gives us the church to call us back, to warn us, and even at times to discipline us if we throw off that correction and that leading. Again, we'll talk more about that in another class. You may have questions about that. And the final thing, just kind of bringing this all together, membership fundamentally is not just a commitment to an organization. The reason why you would and should commit to a church is because you're committed to Christ. And the church, Jesus says, is his bride. It's his beloved. It's his body. It's his family. It's his household. And that has to be ultimately what draws you to church membership. Because if you are coming to become a member of a church because you like the church so much, you're going to get burned. And some of you may have been burned by churches. Because this church is made up of sinners, every single one of us. I've met them all. We're all sinners. We're all fallen. We've all got blind spots and problems. And if our commitment is tied to how wonderful this body is, how wonderful the organization or the institution is, we're going to be disappointed. But if it's tied to Christ and to the fact that Christ has said he is sanctifying this body, he is washing his bride with the water of the word, as we read in Ephesians 5, then you can stick around because you realize Christ is going to finish what he started. And he's actually using it to sanctify you as well, who are a sinner too. So membership involves all of these things. Okay, in a minute I'll ask you to go around and kind of just give us a few details about yourself. I want to just point you to, in your book, those 5 membership vows. Again, you'll notice they are basic, foundational to the gospel. That's what we're asking you to sign off on. You'll see in your syllabus that we're going to cover a lot of ground. We're going to talk about, you know, Presbyterian and Reformed church history. I'm sure that just makes you so excited. I'm a history buff, so it makes me excited, but I'm a little weird. You know, we'll talk about our theology. We'll talk about our worship. You might look at your vows and say, well, if all you're asking me to do is just sign up on the gospel and being willing to be part of the church, why do this? Well, we're not, again, asking you to agree with everything that we teach. We would love that, but we don't think that's the bar. We think the bar is, are you united with Christ? If you're united with Christ, you can be united with Christ's body here at Catoctin. Okay, that's where the bar is. However, we want to see you grow into the whole counsel of God. And we want you to know what we believe about that. We want you to be introduced to some of our distinctives so that you know what we believe, why we believe it, what you're going to hear, and what you're going to be exposed to, and give you a chance to just process through some of those things. So we're going to go beyond the membership vows in this class, but at the end of the day, what we're asking you for is, are you able, with a good conscience, to make these vows? And we'll again talk through more of those vows as we go through the class. But any questions about that? That was kind of a whirlwind tour there. My apologies. All right, so let's take a few minutes and just go around the room. Again, if you want to just share your name, kind of your church background and experience, where you're coming from, and then what your hope or desire is in coming to this class. So do I have a brave volunteer to start us off? Wonderful, yeah. Well, welcome to you all. Oh, and Sydney, yeah, has already been using her talents. We've, yes. We've been very, very grateful for that. Well, let me just mention one other thing. You'll notice I've got this recorder on. We're doing that in part because we kind of had this influx of people who wanted to go through a members class. So we're starting one now, but we're well aware that we're starting this at the beginning of summer. Everyone's got travel plans. So you're probably going to miss, you know, one or two of these classes. We would really encourage you though, especially if you are thinking, yeah, I want to become a member. Go back and listen to the recordings, and we'll make sure to get you a link to where you can find these once they're uploaded. But we really think this is important material. It's kind of one of our one chances to just have a forum to kind of share some of what we think is important and give you a chance to process that. So if you miss a class, try to make sure to go back and listen to it. If you want to kind of revisit something, you can do that as well. And again, this is not your only chance to ask questions, to learn more. I'm always available. If you look on the back of your bulletin, you've got the contact info for all our elders and deacons. Any of them would be happy to talk to you, meet with you, answer any questions you have. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody. If there are no more questions, I'll go ahead and close this with a word of prayer. All right, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness to us. We thank you for just even hearing in brief there the many ways that you have been at work, the way that you have drawn us from all different places to yourself and now to one another, to bind us together so that we can serve each other and love each other and do all the one another things that you call us to in the Bible. We do pray, Lord, that you would bless this class, that you would give clarity, that you would help ideas and emphases to connect and to make sense, and that you would just let this be a useful time. We pray that you would answer your promise, that you would build your church, and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.